Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord, listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. May the Lord bless that reading to us.
The ladies particularly might be familiar with Clairol. Clairol, the beauty products. Apparently they introduced a curling iron a few years back, and they sent it to Germany, and they exported it as a mist stick. The only problem was that mist in German meant manure. Pepsi had a bright idea. They exported their drinks into China with the slogan, "Come alive with the Pepsi generation." The problem was that when they translated it into Mandarin or whatever it was, it came out as, "Pepsi brings your ancestors back from the grave." Or the American t-shirt maker who, on the visit of the Pope to Miami, who produced some t-shirts for the Spanish-speaking population to promote the Pope's visit. But unfortunately, instead of having La Papa, which means, instead of having El Papa, which means I saw the Pope, they had on the t-shirts La Papa, which apparently means I saw the potato. All very confusing. It's interesting, isn't it, that one of the nation's biggest websites is confused. com. Do you get confused in this sophisticated, scientific, technological, bureaucratic age? There's so much that can confuse. And one thing that has been asked since the early seeds of time still brings confusion, and that is, what is the meaning of life? In The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you will know that the answer to the meaning of life is 42. But today's 21st century intergalactic non-space travellers look for meaning and purpose in other things. For some, it's possessions. I'm sure you can all identify with Beyoncé. Beyonce, the singer who bought her daughter a diamond-crested, studded Barbie doll, which cost just $52,000. All I got was dinky toys. I feel cheated now by my parents. Or maybe there are people who look for the meaning of life in some form of altruism or campaigning or advocacy. Some people look for a meaning out of life in terms of status or power, whether that's to do with the workplace or society at large. And some seek meaning out of pleasure and R&R, extreme sports, sun, sand and sangria. When it comes to the meaning of life, I think there is something in R&R, you know. No, not the rest and relaxation, but the redemption and the response. Redemption is God's story. From creation in the book of Genesis to the final recreation in the book of Revelation. Genesis chapter 2.5. Adam was walking around the Garden of Eden feeling very lonely. So God asked Adam, "What's wrong?" Adam said he didn't have anyone to talk to. So God promised that a woman would be his companion. He said this person would cook for him and wash his clothes. She would always agree with every decision he made. She would bear his children and never ask him to get up in the middle of the night to take care of them. She would always be the first to admit that she was wrong when they had a disagreement. She would never have a headache and would freely give love and compassion whenever needed. Adam asked God, "What would a woman like this cost?" God said, "An arm and a leg." Adam said, "What can I get for a rib?" The story of creation is one of perfect, loving provision, which was marred by the human spirit that disobeyed and said, "What's in it for me?" The blessings of a free will were turned against God, as he knew it would be. And so he operated plan A. But actually there wasn't a plan B. God only had plan A. And plan A was the plan of redemption, or the plan of salvation. The seeds of separation from God, the seeds of self-centeredness, the seeds of mistrust of others were sown right from those early days in the book of Genesis. And over time, brother murdered brother. Immorality set in. Any God would do when it came to worship. Mass warfare broke out. Kingdoms fell apart. Prophets were threatened and murdered. And so God stepped in. God stepped in a way unlike any other before. And he gave a promise. The promise of a savior to be born to a virgin. The promise that all that the Jewish law failed to do, he would do. He showed that the kingdom of heaven wasn't something distant and remote, but it was something at hand. What burnt offerings couldn't do, Jesus did by the shedding of his blood on a cross. And when it came to paying the price of sin, Jesus stepped in as a substitute, as we said earlier, to take on his shoulders all the sins of the world and to satisfy God's Father God's need for justice. So Jesus' resurrection from that empty tomb sealed the greatest act of forgiveness and the ultimate promise that death is not the end and that there is life beyond the grave. And the rest of plan A, the rest of the plan of redemption is really caught up in our future. The final drama that we will be experiencing, those by faith who choose to go that way. When the final consummation of the earth will take place, when the creation that was spoiled will be recreated and unspoiled, when Jesus will return to the earth and claim all who follow him to be with him forever. And there will be no tears, no sadness, and no death. That is plan A. That is the plan of redemption. In a tiny, tiny nutshell. I think my old Testament and theology tutors they're dead, but if they were, they'd turn in their grave at the absurdity of trying to express the plan of redemption in just a few words in that way. But how absurdly brief it is, that for me is the meaning of life. Caught up in God's plan of redemption. But it can't just be left there. Because if this is to have any meaning, then there must be a response. Some of you will know that at Lark in the Park this year, the theme is Back to the Future, based on the trilogy of the movies. And our response, our future, for me, is encapsulated in something that took place in 1646. In 1646, the Church of England Synod came up with the Westminster Confession, or the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is a means of teaching the faith within the Church of England and the Church of Scotland. And the statement was in a form of a Q&A, a question and answer. And the first question on that particular statement was, what is the chief end of man? And as you'll see on the screen, the answer is also given, as well as the question. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And I can't really get beyond that in terms of a response to God's plan of redemption. Also within the statement, there is in the margins, there are a number of Bible references that support particularly this statement that is made. Let me read just a few of them. Firstly, a few verses about this first part, that man's chief end, people's chief end. You realize that it's so long ago that the language is a bit sexist, but you will understand it's people. People's chief end is to glorify God. And so it quotes verses like Psalm 86, which Diane read for us. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. And from Romans 11, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We are totally dependent upon God. And in the final analysis, all of creation will reveal his glory. And one more, just that takes place just before the motto, which is, "For I am seeking my own good."
Not seeking.
But the good of many, so that they may be saved. I'm glad it's been so successful. Just before the motto is two verses before, verse 31. It says, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That can be our chief response to God's great plan of salvation, plan of redemption, more than anything else. Whatever we do it all for the glory of God. The Bible tells us in a whole variety of ways that we exist to receive God's love and to know and show something of his glory. And glory, I think we said earlier, it is a kind of abbreviation for all that God is. It encompasses all his attributes, all those long O words, the many different characteristics of God, all that he's done, the whole plan of redemption. It's all part of the glory of God. And in restraining ourselves, we are letting God's glory shine through us. And that is the battlefield, because we're not always as good as we should be in terms of taking down the barricades and letting God be all that he wants to be, all that he can be through us. Then the last bit of the statement is that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And just a couple of verses here. Psalm 16, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures in your right hand." And from Revelation, which again alluded to a few minutes ago, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Throughout history, God has revealed himself in fire, in the clouds, in thunder, in smoke, in brilliant light. But the greatest revelation of all is the revelation through his Son, Jesus. John 1, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." George MacLeod said that the only reason why man as man has any individual significance is because Christ died for him. The glory of the cross, that we may live full lives and radiate his glory. Now what that means for us as individuals, as a church together, is something that we need to constantly reflect upon. But it will undoubtedly mean bringing glory to God through worship. Our worship experience is about bringing glory to God, and through that he blesses us. You're familiar with Wayne and Kathy Perrin, aren't you? Huh? You just sung one of their songs. "When I Look Into Your Holiness." The reason I chose that song before the sermon was because of the words. The reason I live is to worship you. Our life, our expression, our whole life needs to be an expression of worship. Now, I know you're struggling to think, how on earth can I go to the workplace tomorrow and worship when I've got all those deadlines and that irritating boss? This is a special place for worship. He's gathered people. It is a special place. But we're called to be people on the front line, as Paul was praying earlier. We're called to be people who worship God wherever we are. And the last song we're going to sing, the last hymn, I've chosen because it talks about being lost in wonder, love, and praise. Because the kernel of it is here. And I don't suggest you get lost in wonder and praise in the workplace. That might not go down terribly well. But you can get lost here. Lost in wonder, love, and praise. We bring glory to God through worship. We bring glory to God by loving others. Especially, not exclusively, but especially loving other believers. John wrote in his letter, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who does not love remains in death." What is the purpose of God's redemption? What is the purpose of resurrection if we're going to remain in death because we haven't loved others? That's as serious as it is. It's not a by the way kind of thing. But we will remain in a state that God doesn't want us to be in unless we love others. We will glorify God when we get closer to him. Philippians 1, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound so that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus. To know him, to be like him, to get closer to him. And we reveal the glory of God when we serve others. Bring our gifts that he's given, recommission them, use them. Bless other people. Bless people you don't normally bless. There's the challenge for the week. Those who are nice to you, of course you can bless them anytime. But bless those that you're struggling to even like. That's what Jesus would want. That's transforming love that brings God's glory into that place where you are. We all need a bit of R&R, a bit of rest and relaxation. But we need a heck of a lot more of R&R, knowing that we're redeemed and responding to it. Let's pray. Lord, we can only marvel at this incredible plan that you had before time began. You knew that humanity would be outlawed, that they would go the wrong way. But you provided for that. And you promised that you would bring back to yourself those who'd wandered off, who had spoiled things. That the world that was created so beautifully in the garden would one day be seen in a different light, in a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. And you knew that we would need a Savior. And you sent the Lord Jesus to be with us. And even after he was ascended back to heaven. You poured your Spirit upon us that we might still have Jesus with us. Lord, help us to recognize your presence in all things and at all times. Help us not just to accept it, but by making a response to it, by bringing glory to you. Thank you for plan A. Thank you, there was no plan B. Would you bring your encouragement? Would you bring back to our minds all those promises that you've made that are not for other people, but for us as well? And would you just lift us up, carry us through if we're going through difficult times? Just continue to give us that vision of the future and of that certainty that you're with us now. As we go from this place, as we go into our various places throughout this week, may we bring glory to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's sing that great Charles Wesley hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.